Galatians 6:6-10. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit. Will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So a little boy coming home from his little league game, Billy, swung open the front door very excitedly. Unable to attend the game, his father immediately wanted to know what happened. "So how did you do, son?" he asked. "You'll never believe it," Billy said. "I was responsible for the winning run." "Really? How did you do that?" Billy said, "I dropped the ball." There are so few people who are willing to take responsibility for dropping the ball. I commend Billy, but not for dropping the ball, but for understanding cause and effect. In Galatians 6:6-10, mutual accountability and personal responsibility are still the subject matter. We've been talking about that, and it's still there. It's like that, 800-pound gorilla? I wonder why somebody chose 800 pounds. Why not 1,000? Anyhow, it's easy to shirk one's responsibilities in the face of pressure or other concerns. We can easily excuse ourselves, and other people just might excuse us too. But that's not the road we should travel as Spirit-led people. I've entitled this little vignette is return on investment, ROI. ROI is also there, although Paul speaks in agriculture terms. You know, whatever you plant, whatever you sow is what you reap. Well, that's a return on investment. Don't be too short-sighted here. Russia is oftentimes supplying other countries with nuclear weaponry, so are others, so do we. That can be a good thing, maybe, in the short term. It can also be a return on investment that we don't want. So the text has this idea that the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. The one who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. The one who sows to the Spirit reaps eternal life from the Spirit. Don't get tired in your spirit deep down. Don't lose heart. Keep going. In due time, you'll reap if you don't quit, if you don't grow weary. So then, while the opportunity is around, make sure that you're sowing, doing good to all people, and, of course, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul's statement in 6:6 leads him into a discussion of sowing and reaping in 6:7, and there's a good reason for this. He has encouraged already those who receive the word, and he wants them to share with the messenger. I'm sure you've heard of the two extremes that can take place in this area, and these are people's safeguards, I guess, that they use to justify one behavior or another. One is the preacher will only preach what's acceptable to the people. The other is the people won't support the one who brings the word to them. That situation and others is submitted to accountability to a higher authority in the next few verses that follow. Paul's trying to avoid both of those. He doesn't want the preacher preaching only what's acceptable, and he doesn't want the people being chintzy or not supporting the one who brings the word to them. I guess you could say that people in general tend to shirk responsibility. Why then is it any different in the matter of teachers or preachers in congregations? There's certainly the possibility of other motivations in this situation in life than worrying about your paycheck or trying to get something for nothing. Let me flesh this out for you. In the case of a preacher, he just might think that he has to tickle the itching ears or else they won't pay him. Didn't want to make him mad, so they won't pay him. In another case, some of the people might not want to share in this situation, whereas they might be willing to spend their money on other things, and they call them more important things. That's the way they prioritize things. In both cases, both have been minimized as far as the importance of God's word, and they kicked it down the stairs or kicked the can down the road. There's this tendency, you know, for people to play church and then pat ourselves on the back. We're all tempted to get the cart before the horse, to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. But what Paul says in 6:6 of Galatians is part of this idea of sowing and reaping. And that is the context, I guess, for us to really pay attention to. You better have the Word of God as a priority in your life, be you a preacher or part of the congregation. Preachers, sow the Word unreservedly, week in and week out, regardless of whether they pay you or don't pay you. Laity, people in the congregation, make every provision to get the Word of God that is delivered, even to the degree of sharing materially with the ones who deliver it. No matter what you or I think, the consequences of doing otherwise are a complete and utter disaster. Listen, if you will, to chapter 6 and verse 8 with its three staccato-like phrases. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. Now, Proverbs 6:27 says something that is applicable to this as well. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Some people think so. But recall 6:8a and George Bush's Make No Mistake. Clarence Jordan in the Cotton Patch Gospel said, don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes. You can't turn up your nose at God. This word, mukterizatai, is found only here in the New Testament. Literally, it is to turn up the nose in mockery or contempt. The idea is to make God ridiculous by outwitting him or evading his laws. That's what the word has as its idea. Teenagers are well familiar with this practice, as we all are. We've all played that game. Sometimes your gamble pays off and sometimes it doesn't. This says, with God, a big not. God is not mocked. It's impossible to mock God. Now, people do it, but he doesn't fall for it.
This is reality. It is immutable. The dark side of sowing to the flesh is painted here for us, as well as the splendor, if you will, of sowing to the Spirit. The dark side is portrayed in a word, thoran, that speaks of decay and decomposition. Eternal life, zoe, ionion, sorry, it would be zoein, ionion, is the splendor of the harvest of sowing to the Spirit. That's life eternal, life everlasting. We all get tired of doing the right thing, don't we? I mean, come on. Isn't it a little bit strange to tell people not to get weary in well-doing? Well, yeah, we all do it, but it's not so much about being weary as it is don't quit when you're weary. Don't give in. Don't give out. Because it takes a while to harvest, you know, but we get impatient. Well, that one thing is really super important. Churches need to get a hold of this and not quit in sharing the gospel and sharing the word with the rest of the people around them. And this has a specific application for the Galatians. And what they should do is expel the agitators that we've talked about before, those Judaizers. Love your neighbor as yourself, walk by means of the Spirit, restore fallen ones, carry one another's burdens, examine yourselves in light of the Bema Seat of Christ, provide material support for those who instruct you in the faith, no matter what your flesh dictates. Do good, or all the above. In season, Cairo, it's not chronos, which is chronological time. In season, we move from being sowers to reapers. And so the remedy to burnout is not to quit. Everybody who's burning out, though, quits. One of the greatest frustrations in Christianity and a cause for weariness in well-doing is that we can never calculate when the harvest comes. Unlike a farmer or a gardener, you know, you buy a tomato plant and you look on the little tag that's in the pot and it says 70 days or how many ever days until it's ready to pick. We don't get to do that. You never know. Sometimes it's a short period. Sometimes it's a real, real, real long period. That means we have to be really careful about putting too much stock in the visible means of success that everybody seems to glom onto. God has promised, don't forget this, that His word will not return unto Him void, but at the proper time, the right season, we are promised that the harvest is sure. Not only does Paul encourage us to keep on doing well or good, not just keeping on, but specific good, he also widens our scope to all people, especially those of the household of faith in 6:10. William Carey, I don't know if you know anything about him, went to India in 1793. On December 28th, 1800, he baptized his first Hindu convert. You can do the math on that one. It's pretty easy. However things go on this earth in the course of human history, however mysterious the workings of God, be assured that the day is coming when Jesus returns and He rewards those who have not stopped or quit feeding the Spirit. What greater motivation is there? I don't know of any. No one can police this but you. You can't account for everybody else or be responsible for everybody else. You and I need to be responsible for you and I. Now, Satan will get involved if we allow him to. What do you think the world's doing? Hollywood, politicians, workers to bosses, advertisers of all kinds, others who are trying to get something out of us, some of our acquaintances who are simply trying to get rid of us at the time. Our tendency is to think that stuff is super important and the things of God are not. We would never say that out loud, but if you look at all the time and money spent on those things as compared to what is invested in the kingdom, you can see where the importance lies. People are sowing a non-solution, so therefore they will reap, generally speaking, a non-solution. When you're determining the worth of certain behaviors or something you're about to invest in, check out the ROI, the return on investment. In this passage, God gives us the prospectus. Well, until we see each other again, Lord willing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.